Welcome! I'm so glad you've pressed play today because we are diving into one of the most fascinating topics in GCSE biology, coordination and control. Whether you're revising for your mocks or gearing up for the real thing, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know, from reflex arcs to hormones, homeostasis to plant tropisms, and I promise by the end of this, you'll not only understand it, you'll actually find it pretty amazing. So get comfortable, maybe grab a pen to jot things down. And let's get started. This topic is worth a significant chunk of marks in your exam. And the good news is, once you understand the logic behind it, the pieces really do fall into place beautifully. Let's start with the nervous system because this is the foundation of everything in this topic. Your body needs to respond to changes in its environment, things like touching something hot or a sudden loud noise. The nervous system is the rapid response team. Think of it like a super fast messaging service. Electrical signals zipping along nerve cells called neurons, carrying information from where it's detected all the way to where a response happens. Now, the pathway those signals travel is called a reflex arc, and this is absolutely exam gold. Examiners love asking you to sequence the components, so let's go through them in order. Ready? First, there's the receptor. This detects the stimulus, so if you touch something hot, the heat receptors in your skin fire up. The signal then travels along a sensory neuron to the spinal cord. In the spinal cord, a relay neuron connects the sensory neuron to a motor neuron. The motor neuron then carries the signal out to the effector, which is either a muscle or a gland, and the response happens. You pull your hand away. The whole thing takes milliseconds, and crucially, it bypasses the brain. That's why it's called a reflex. It's automatic and involuntary. A really common mistake candidates make is confusing the order of the neurons. Remember this. Sensory goes into the spinal cord. Motor goes out from the spinal cord. The relay neuron is in the middle. A great way to remember this is the phrase, some runners move. Sensory, relay, motor. Now, between each neuron, there's a tiny gap called a synapse. The electrical signal can't jump across this gap directly, so chemical messengers called neurotransmitters are released. They diffuse across the gap and bind to receptors on the next neuron, triggering the signal to continue. This is important because it means signals can only travel in one direction across a synapse. Moving on to the eye, another diagram that comes up frequently. The key structures you need to know are the cornea, which refracts light, the iris, which controls the size of the pupil and therefore how much light enters, the lens, which focuses light onto the retina, which contains light-sensitive receptor cells, and the optic nerve, which carries impulses to the brain. The ciliary muscles and suspensory ligaments control the shape of the lens in a process called accommodation. For a near object, the ciliary muscles contract, the suspensory ligaments go slack, and the lens becomes fatter and more curved to focus the light. For a distant object, it's the opposite. Ciliary muscles relax, ligaments pull tight, and the lens becomes thinner and flatter. Now let's talk about the hormonal system, the second great communication network in your body. Where the nervous system is fast and precise, the hormonal system is slower but longer lasting. Hormones are chemical messengers produced by glands, released into the bloodstream, and carried to target organs. One of the most important hormones to know is adrenaline, produced by the adrenal glands, which sit just above your kidneys. Adrenaline is released in response to stress or danger. It prepares your body for fight or flight. It increases heart rate, increases breathing rate, diverts blood to the muscles, and releases glucose from glycogen stores in the liver. Candidates often forget that last point. Adrenaline is broken down by the liver, and it also acts on the liver to release glucose. Don't leave that out. Next up, homeostasis. This is the process by which the body maintains a stable internal environment. The key mechanism here is negative feedback. Imagine a thermostat in your house. When it gets too cold, the heating comes on. When it gets too warm, the heating switches off. Your body does exactly the same thing with temperature, blood glucose, and water balance. For blood glucose regulation, the pancreas is the control center. When blood glucose rises, say after a meal, the pancreas releases insulin. Insulin causes cells to take up glucose and the liver to convert glucose into glycogen for storage. Blood glucose falls back to normal. When blood glucose falls too low, perhaps after exercise, the pancreas releases glucagon. Glucagon causes the liver to convert glycogen back into glucose, releasing it into the blood. Blood glucose rises back to normal. This is negative feedback in action. This brings us to diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is where the pancreas cannot produce insulin at all. It's an autoimmune condition. Treatment requires insulin injections. Type 2 diabetes is where the body's cells no longer respond properly to insulin. They become insulin resistant. It's often linked to diet and lifestyle. Treatment initially involves diet changes and exercise, sometimes medication. Examiners will test whether you know the difference, so make sure you're clear. Type 1, no insulin produced. Type 2, cells don't respond to insulin. Water balance in the body is controlled by a hormone called ADH, antidiuretic hormone produced by the pituitary gland. When you're dehydrated, the blood becomes more concentrated. The pituitary gland detects this and releases more ADH. ADH travels to the kidneys and increases the permeability of the collecting duct, meaning more water is reabsorbed back into the blood. You produce less urine, and it's more concentrated. When you're well hydrated, less ADH is released, less water is reabsorbed, and you produce more dilute urine. This is another beautiful example of negative feedback. Finally, let's talk about plant hormones. Plants don't have a nervous system, but they still respond to their environment using chemical hormones. The most important one for your exam is auxin. Auxin is produced at the tip of shoots and roots. In shoots, auxin promotes cell elongation. It makes cells grow longer. When light hits a shoot from one side, auxin migrates to the shaded side. The shaded side has more auxin, so those cells elongate more, and the shoot bends toward the light. This is called positive phototropism, growing toward the stimulus. In roots, auxin has the opposite effect. It inhibits cell elongation. When gravity pulls auxin to the lower side of a root, the lower side elongates less, so the root bends downward. This is called positive gravitropism. Remember, shoots and roots respond differently to auxin because they have different sensitivities to it. Right, let's talk exam technique because knowing the content is only half the battle. First, command words. If a question says state, you just need a short factual answer. One or two words or a brief phrase. Describe means tell me what happens. Use scientific terminology. Explain is where you earn the marks. You need to say how or why something happens. Use the word because to link cause and effect. Examiners are looking for that causal chain. For a 6-mark question on homeostasis or the nervous system, structure your answer in a logical sequence. Start with the stimulus or change. Describe what detects it. Explain the mechanism. And finish with the outcome. Don't jump around. Examiners follow your logic. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1, getting the neuron order wrong in a reflex arc. Sensory, relay, motor, some runners move. Number 2, confusing type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Type 1, no insulin. Type 2, no response to insulin. Number 3, saying water moves by diffusion in the kidney, it moves by osmosis. Always say osmosis when water moves across a membrane. Number 4, forgetting that adrenaline is broken down by the liver. Number 5, in the menstrual cycle, confusing the roles of FSH, LH, estrogen, and progesterone. FSH stimulates egg development and estrogen production. LH triggers ovulation. Estrogen repairs the uterus lining. Progesterone maintains the uterus lining. For diagram questions, and these come up every year, practice drawing and labeling the eye, the reflex arc, and the kidney. Use a ruler for straight lines. Label clearly with a line that touches the structure, and use correct terminology. Examiners cannot award marks if your label line doesn't clearly indicate the right structure. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds, then give the answer. No peeking. Question 1. Name the 5 components of a reflex arc in order. Ready? The answer is receptor, sensory neuron, relay neuron, motor neuron, effector. Question 2. What hormone is released when blood glucose is too high? Answer, insulin. Question 3. What does ADH stand for and what does it do? Answer, antidiuretic hormone. It increases the permeability of the collecting duct in the kidney, causing more water to be reabsorbed. Question 4. In phototropism, which side of the shoot has more auxin? Answer, the shaded side. Question 5. What is the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes? Answer, In type 1, the pancreas cannot produce insulin. In type 2, the body's cells do not respond to insulin. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today. The nervous system uses electrical signals for fast, precise responses. The reflex arc pathway is receptor, sensory neuron, relay neuron, motor neuron, effector. The hormonal system uses chemical messengers in the blood for slower, longer-lasting effects. Homeostasis maintains a stable internal environment through negative feedback. Blood glucose is regulated by insulin and glucagon from the pancreas. ADH controls water balance by adjusting the permeability of the kidney's collecting duct. Auxin causes shoots to bend toward light and roots to grow downward. You've got this. The key to doing well on this topic is understanding the logic. Once you see why each mechanism works the way it does, it becomes much easier to remember and apply in the exam. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn is a mark you've worked for. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.